Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Lifelong resident of Pensacola, speaking on behalf of the Micah 6-8 men's group. We're here out of love for this city and a deep concern for what is scheduled at Sanger, the so-called drag show Christmas. This is not a matter of art or free expression. It is a question of public morality under civic authority. Scripture says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. To host this event is to give public approval to something that mocks God and offends His created order.
So yesterday at the Pensacola City Council meeting, you had a group of, I'm estimating, 150 people, somewhere between 100 and 200 people. City Council chambers were not completely packed, but Jared Moore, the city council president, noted, he said it was the best pledge they've ever had.
The flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. That might have been the best pledge we've ever logged here in council chambers.
Hey, you put a couple hundred Christians in the chamber and you're going to get a good pledge, right? So that's true. And the reason they were there was not to do the pledge in unison, strongly. The reason they were there was to express their anger at the city for having the audacity to allow and not interfere with the Sanger Theater, which is a city-owned property. A lot of people don't know that. They think they don't realize that the Sanger is not privately owned. The Sanger is city-owned and subsidized. And that the Sanger is going to have a drag show there. Right before Christmas, on December 23rd, entitled A Drag Queen Christmas. And it's going to have, you know, men dressing as women and lots of makeup and high heels and all kinds of other things. And parading around and pretending to be the Grinch and the, you know, Santa Claus, I guess, and Rudolph and I don't know, but, you know, maybe other things. And if it's like any drag show that I've ever seen, and I have seen some, we go to the fundraiser for PLT Cabaret most years, and there's always a drag show there. There's always people milling about and enjoying. It's the big event, you know. It's fun, whatever. So they were upset because the Sanger Theater, being city-owned, is going to have this, what they called variously, some kind of lewd and lascivious and obscenity and blasphemy and immoral and affront to nature and a violation of the gender divide and all that. They wanted to the city council to say, no, heaven no, see, as opposed to the normal expression. We normally say hell no, but if you're going to be a Christian and not swear, you say heaven no. Anyway, Micah 6-8, Mark Price.
Each of you have both the authority and the duty to act. Contract allows it. More importantly, God requires it. Isaiah warns, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. By allowing this performance, you are not neutral. You are endorsing what God Himself condemns. This is not about hatred for the men involved. As Christians, we are commanded to love our neighbors. But true love does not affirm what destroys. Ephesians is clear. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose it.
And these are all good, solid Bible quotes. And for the Christian, it's good guidance. The question is, what is the obligation of a leader, of a political body, of diverse people, under the United States Constitution, which has, it's not the Second Amendment. That's the one about guns, right? Yeah, it's not the Fourth Amendment. It's not about searches and seizures. It's not the Fifth Amendment. It's not that one about, what is that Fifth Amendment about anyway? Is that it's self-incrimination, right to an attorney, stuff like that? First Amendment. What is that? To petition the government for redress of grievances, right? Oh, freedom of speech and non-establishment of religion. Oh, yeah, that's right. So they brought this up, right? And it's a genuine question. It's a good question. What should, let's say, a Christian, and many of city council members are practicing Christians, what should a Christian city council member do when presented with the prospect of a already scheduled, contractually obligated drag show that is 2 days before Christmas, arguably blasphemy, or at least desecration, or inappropriate, or anti-Christian, or immoral, or gender-bending, or all of these things? What should a Christian city council member do with that when presented with the opportunity to cancel that contract? And they do have the authority to do it, okay? And they, you know, city council owns the property. I mean, they could close this hangar. If they wanted to, you know, might not make the most sense, but they could. And I'll tell you, the answer there is not obvious. I mean, I think what they should do in this case is obvious. I don't happen to agree with the large number of people who showed up last night. They also think it's obvious. How dare you tolerate this immorality? And they even presented them with the argument of, you made an oath, James Hunter.
The Charter of the City of Pensacola, Section 605, candidate qualifying oath. I'm going to have to condense this because of the time. It says, oath or affirmation shall be provided by Florida law. Constitution, State of Florida, general oath for State of Florida legislatures. I do solemnly swear that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution, government of the United States, and the State of Florida, so help me God. A true question, did each council member swear to that oath?
And every volunteer board member.
Okay.
Yeah, they all swore to that oath. So help me God. What was that first part? The first part was the Constitution part, right? To honor and uphold the Constitution, which specifically protects people who have different ideas and protects their ability to express them. Now, what they would say is, well, Andrew, they can express them privately. They can express them even publicly in a public forum. But they do not have the opportunity to express them at the Sanger Theater with the support of the public that is being forced to pay through their taxpayer-subsidized theatrical venue the subsidization of something that they find abhorrent. Dicey. Because viewpoint preferencing in public venues, like, say, a contract-entering entity like the Sanger Theater, it's not so easy to say we don't like it. We don't like it. Why? Well, because the Bible hates it. That's not how it works, right? But I understand where they're coming from. They don't want to see what they consider to be evil going on in their city-subsidized venue. Okay. But play that out. Are we going to have a board of morality vetting all of the Sanger Theater productions and making sure that they're up to, well, whose standards exactly? You know, is it going to be James Hunter's standards? Is it going to be Mark Price's standards? Is it going to be James Johnson's standards, who was another pastor who was there? Is it going to be Charles Kussman's standards? I mean, Kurtzman's standards? I mean, whose standards exactly? Because I will propose to you a theory. And the theory is that I don't think you're going to find any production that's going to be approved by everybody. Even religious ones, well, that's got a biblical inaccuracy and it can't have it. Or, you know, that's got a little bit too much makeup on the woman, it can't have it. I mean, there's, John, you know,
yes,
some
sir.
Christians.
Yes, sir.
Are we sometimes picky?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we are.
Do we ever protest content?
Oh, yeah.
do we ever not protest content?
Oh, no.
We protest content all the time.
Yes.
And, I mean, literally when the Sanger does its movie series, there's movies that show at the Sanger that I am absolutely sure at least some of these folks would find them unacceptable. When, you know, various comics come to town, I'm pretty sure that they wouldn't approve of those shows. And across the board. I mean, you might occasionally find a theatrical performance that they'd all agree is okay. But one out of 100, maybe? One out of a, you know, right? So do we subscribe to the theory that you need a board of moral approval? And again, by whom? Because Pensacola's a pretty diverse place. It's a blue city in a red county. And should the city council be making the Sanger a venue for the religious right? Or should it be a venue for all the citizens? So you have a couple of questions here on this issue. Question number one is, was it smart of ASM to book this 2 days before Christmas in Pensacola, Florida? No. I mean, that was really dumb. Anybody who knows anything about Pensacola could have told you this was going to become a problem. You know, book it for November. The show is a traveling show. It goes for several months. You know, they do drag shows at the Sanger. Yeah. You know, it's just being right around Christmas when it's specifically a Christmas drag show that offends people. So should they have booked it in the first place? No, that was dumb. But once it's been booked, and once it's been contractually entered into, is the city in a good position to cancel that show because a group of religious, serious religious people show up and say you shouldn't have it? Well, as Adam Cobb said right at the end of the meeting, oh, no, no, you definitely cannot do this.
Without getting into the nitty-gritty, I mean, based on my current understanding of the facts surrounding this, if council were to decide that they wanted to just cancel this contract, I think they would expose the city to immediate and significant risk of legal and financial liability, to be frank. I think there would be potential liability under a contract with our management company. I think there would be potential liability under a Florida and federal constitutional claim. So my emphatic and unequivocal recommendation is that you don't just cancel the contract. That's my legal standpoint, agree, disagree, whatever. But that you ask for my opinion, and that's what it is.
The lawyer is there to protect the city from doing something illegal or unconstitutional, for which they will get sued. If they break this contract, it is Adam Cobb's opinion, because not just the provisions they were reading, but there's other provisions in the contract. If they cancel it, it'll be bad. Financially, significantly bad. The city will also get sued for violating the First and 14th Amendment. Because they don't have a reason to cancel this that is acceptable under the Constitution. And I would strongly encourage... And by the way, this is up on our Facebook page. I was covering this last night in real time. If you want to read, there's a lot of comments. I mean, I think the last time I checked, there was well over 100 comments. And I haven't looked at it this morning just to see. But I would say the vast majority of people want to see it canceled. Honestly, that concerns me. 141 comments. Because I thought we were against cancel culture. Well, you don't understand, this is immorality and it's anti-God. Oh, I get that it's immoral and anti-God. I get that. I mean, I'm not stupid. But cancel culture is the idea that my values should decide what your speech gets to be, what your art gets to be, what your expression gets to be. And I, for one, believe in tolerance and freedom, and that includes for people to do what I don't like, even what I hate. As I've said many times, I may hate what you say, but I will fight to the death to protect your right to say it. I believe in the American experiment, and I worry that a lot of people don't, because they're eager to shut something down that they strongly, vehemently dislike in the name of the Bible. But I'm gonna make a thought, I'm going to make an argument here that's going to really either aggravate some people, or what I hope is, if you're listening and you're part of the group that came to protest this, I love you as brothers in Christ. Theologically speaking, the premise of your argument is very flawed. Because your argument is, if city council allows this to happen, city council is got guilty hands for allowing it to happen. Your argument being, if you have the ability to intervene to stop evil and you don't stop it, you're guilty in the evil. It's true. Sins of omission are sins of omission. But is God responsible for the Holocaust? Did it happen? Is it evil? Is God all-powerful? Did God fail to stop it? Do you accuse God of failing to stop an evil with the same level of analogy that you accuse the city council of failing to stop an evil? And I hope you'll think about that and reconsider your allegation that allowing something to happen under the belief that, let's say, freedom or the law or tolerance or restraint is the right approach and is a more winsome approach and is the one you'd want used for you if you were not in power, is maybe a better fit for the world that God allows to happen with all kinds of evil all the time. It's the problem of evil. It's the central problem for theologians. And the impulse to blame anybody for declining to prevent some evil always winds up being an argument against God. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
You may think that when you file an insurance claim, the insurance company will do what they're supposed to do and pay out the claim. But insurance companies don't provide manuals to get fair insurance claim settlements. That's where Claimology steps in, giving you a voice when you've suffered property damage or business loss. Don't get lost when filing a claim. Contact Claimology, 888-774-7557 or Claimology.com. Claimology, now, the art and science of application of fair insurance claim settlements.
Some things can steal your sunshine.
Ugh, I just got my hair done.
Sorry, the cooler's broken.
Aww. Anyone see my flip-flops? Anyone?
But COVID-19 can steal a lot more.
I just took a COVID test. Ugh.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Violation!
Good morning, 528 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you are in the market for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And you know they do good work because you see them represented all around town by ordinary people who have the license plate, frame, or the bumper sticker on their cars. And I challenge you, pay attention to that. Because, you know, look, you hear me talking about them, you hear Dave Ramsey talk about them, you say, okay, big deal. No, two people on the radio, no, big deal. But look, seriously, when you're driving around, just, you know, you're stopped at a stoplight, casual look around at, you know, all the bumpers and see if you don't find one. And you may not at a given intersection. But the more you look, what you'll find is, like, in one day you might find one. And then if you do it for the second day, it's like three or four, and your eyes kind of get trained to notice something. And then probably by about Sunday, you'll be like, does anybody buy a car from anywhere else? Because they're everywhere. Once you notice, you can't stop noticing. That's because Frontier believes in serving their customers, even after their customers, like follow-up after the sale, which is unheard of from car people, but they are, because they want to make sure you're really happy, not just happy at the time of purchase. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Somebody says, Andrew, the council's in a no-win situation. They either side with their Christianity and disallow it, or they follow the acronym string religion and allow it. No, the win is to tolerate that which they don't love under the First Amendment. As Christians, we criticize and don't forbid. I mean, that's the answer, which is exactly what they did. It wasn't an agenda item. They weren't going to vote on it anyway. But the city attorney said, you know, don't. And he's right. And there was no indication that they are going to intervene at all in this performance. And that is the right answer. There's probably also going to be a good conversation with ASM about, you dummies. Can you be less dumb next time? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Authorities are continuing the search for a suspect in the murder of Charlie Kirk. Two initial arrests did not lead to charges. Police did now release video of the suspect, asking the public for tips. Kirk's funeral is expected soon in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, they say in that video, getting off the roof, that he left, what, you know, handprint, elbow print, forearm. They found the rifle, a .30-06 Mauser. You know, as we suspected, it's a bolt-action, very high-powered, accurate sniper rifle. And they've got pictures of him. And, you know, I don't have any doubt that we're going to find him. We're in a situation now where we're looking. This probably won't last that long, is my guess.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Utah Governor Spencer Cox describes the help authorities are receiving to catch the assassin who ended the life of Charlie Kirk.
The FBI hasn't received this many digital media tips from the public since the Boston Marathon bombing.
Fox's CB Cotton joins us from Orem, Utah.
The FBI says newly released video shows the gunman racing across the rooftop and dropping to the ground on the day of the shooting. We're told a palm impression and other smudges were left behind that investigators now hope to use to collect DNA.
President Trump calling it his obligation to go to the funeral of the 31-year-old leaves behind a wife and two young children. More than 300 South Korean workers detained in an immigration raid at a Hyundai plant in Georgia last week, now back on home soil today, reunited with loved ones. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is right now mostly clear, 65 degrees here in Pensacola today. Well, the trial of the man accused of attempting to assassinate President Trump is underway in a federal court yesterday. Defendant Ryan Ruth was cut off after 6 minutes during his opening statement, with the judge accusing him of making a mockery of the courtroom. Ruth is representing himself. The prosecution's first witness took the stand. It was a Secret Service agent. Ruth is accused of staking out Trump for 12 hours with a rifle near his golf course in Palm Beach in September of 2024. Law enforcement agencies across the state now weighing whether or not to continue enforcing the open carry ban, which has been declared unconstitutional by a state appeals court. Yesterday, we learned that law enforcement agencies here in Northwest Florida would no longer be enforcing the ban, including both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Offices and Pensacola Police Department. That decision now rippling eastward across the state, multiple sheriff's offices, and now the city of Jacksonville also saying the ban will no longer be enforced in their jurisdictions. Now the search for the also Milton and Gulf Breeze not enforcing that ban as well. The search for the killer of conservative activist and Turning Point USA co-founder Charlie Kirk continuing today. The FBI did say they recovered the murder weapon. There have been photos and video of that shooter released. They described him as being of college age. Local legislator Alex Andrade said Kirk is going to be remembered as a truth seeker.
He was an incredible debater. He was open always to people's differing opinions. He was open to having his mind changed. But this is an incredible loss. And, you know, my friends and colleagues who knew him are shaken. And I did not expect to be as emotionally affected by his death as I was yesterday.
And Andrade says his legislative and district aides actually wouldn't even be working for him if not for Kirk's influence. He says over Kirk's life, he inspired millions of young people to learn more about controversial topics. And aside from that, Andrade said Kirk led his life focused on his faith and on his family. Well, WSRE is inviting the public to submit questions for state legislators for a live broadcast of their upcoming legislative review, Dialogue with the Delegation. That's going to air here later this month on September 25th at 7 p.m. And, of course, it's also simulcast here on News Radio 92.3. You can send questions to info@WSRE.com or through their Facebook account. Questions do have to list the submitter's name and city. Participating legislators include Senator Don Gates, Representatives Michelle Salzman, Alex Andrade, Nathan Voiles, and Pat Maney. It is 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Going into your weekend, nice sunny skies on Saturday, high near 89 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Keeping your beautiful sunshiny forecast around on Sunday with a high near 89 degrees. And by Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is 65 degrees right now. We've got clear skies. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Not only is this court bound by Norman, but also 053 satisfies the history and tradition test under Bruin and Rahimi.
Do you concede this is a federal constitutional law question?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. And on the Norman point.
And with that concession, Bruin controls.
I disagree, Your Honor. I don't think Bruin controls because It has not spoken to the question in this case, the ultimate question of whether 053 is consistent with the Second Amendment.
That was the oral arguments back in October. That was Kevin Golombowski, the Solicitor General, Deputy Solicitor General representing the state. That's when Ashley Moody was the AG because we hadn't had the whole shuffle around of personnel. They lost, and as you could hear the questions from the court, the Supreme Court is in control, and the Supreme Court says you got to come up with a historical analog to show that you're justified in regulating the open carry of firearms, which Florida is one of the last states that did not allow this until yesterday. They couldn't come up with one. There isn't one. And so the court very definitively 3-0, the panel said, yeah, it's lawful. And Stan McDaniel's conviction is overturned because that section of statute, that 053, is no good anymore. What that means for us and what that means going forward, well, that's why we'd like to talk to our legislator, Alex Andrade. He's our state representative for District 2 and a lawyer. So a pretty good call, I would think. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Let me just say, I've already gotten a text from one of my millennial friends my age saying the music, the intro today was spot on.
Nice. Thank you. Not old rap, but old for anyway, let's just move on. Okay, so, you know, what I have said and what I said in the last half hour, and I don't assume you heard, was that as of this morning, because I've talked to Sheriff Simmons, they're not enforcing the open carry ban for pistols or rifles right now. I haven't gotten confirmation of that from PPD or from Santa Rosa. They're all either working on it or just I haven't heard yet. But as of this morning in the first district, which is us, open carry of firearms is lawful. Maybe not smart, maybe not always wise because not everybody knows and how they react. But at least from a legal perspective, this ruling is definitive for this slice of Florida, right?
Yes. The first DCA made a specific finding. They found that Florida Section 790.053 was unconstitutional, and that's the general prohibition on the open carrying of weapons. They found that was unconstitutional. So at least in the first DCA, which is, you know, Escambia County down to, like, think like the turn in the Florida Panhandle, like the armpit just past Leon County for the entire state, that's the law. And the Florida Attorney General, James Wiesmeyer, said he wasn't going to challenge it to the Supreme Court, the Florida Supreme Court. So it holds pretty significant weight right now, and I think it would be instructive for the rest of the state as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my take is for the whole state, basically because the AG is not pursuing an appeal, it's probably legal elsewhere. It's certainly legal here. Obviously, people perhaps could try to appeal this decision, and I would be surprised if nobody tries to appeal it. But at the moment, anyway, that's the case. Then the subsequent questions I have are things like, what does this mean for the, for example, place restrictions? You know, the concealed carry statute has all kinds of restrictions on you can't go to a bar, you can't go to a school, you can't go to a polling place, can't go to court, can't go to a legislative body that's in session, can't go to, you know, the college campus, can't go to a sporting event. But the way I read the various statutes here, it seems like those place restrictions are nested within the concealed carry statute. And if the open carry statute goes away, it's not clear to me that those specifics are even prohibited anymore. But you're the lawyer. How do you read it?
Well, Andrew, you very well could be right. I haven't done a survey of all the other prohibitions in Florida statute and compared it to 790.053. But, I mean, our courts, they're encouraged, almost required, almost without fail, to take a strict construction of Florida statute. So if the Florida statute doesn't prohibit openly carrying and it actually provides specific instances of concealed carry, then, yeah, there might be circumstances in Florida statute right now. I think you're right. Where concealed carry would be prohibited, but open carry would be allowed. I don't personally, as a Second Amendment advocate, as someone who's comfortable and familiar with firearms, as someone, you know, who, you know, has carried concealed, does occasionally carry concealed, you know, depending on the circumstances, you know, I'm comfortable with that. I don't think it's going to change. It hasn't changed in the majority of other states. Like, you haven't seen some rash of increase of violence because other states have become open carry before Florida. So I don't think it's going to be a major change in anyone's life. But yeah, I think right now you do have a lot of circumstances for statute because of that strict construction where concealed carry might be prohibited, but open carry would not.
Yeah, it's and that's why I just I'm looking for guidance. You know, I'm still waiting on. I was talking to Ginger Bowden about this a little bit, and she did not get back to me on details just yet. I tried to get her on the air today, and that just didn't work out yet. Because, I mean, I think people have questions. And for a lot of people, this is irrelevant. They're not going to open carry. They don't care. But for gun advocates who have wanted this for years and years and years, they're very eager. And, you know, my own approach was there was one part of me that literally thought, you know, I could go to Publix right now. And there was another part of me that said, don't be an idiot. You know?
Well, no, there's a distinction. I mean, going to Publix is a private business. Private businesses are not prohibited from regulating activity on their private premises.
Right.
So private businesses, if you're a bar, if you're a restaurant, if you're a Publix, Target, if you're any business, you can have your own policy and you can enforce that. No one can because there's no Florida law that supersedes those private businesses and their ability to regulate activity and who can be on their premises based on gun ownership or not. You know, I think that this probably just the people most affected by this are gun advocates mm-hmm. who wear, you know, maybe like tight jeans or don't like wearing jackets because now they can open carry
right
with their shirts tucked in. You know, so I think like those are the people that should be celebrating the most because now, you know, they can do that without discomfort.
Two questions for you, Alex. Number one, were you surprised by this ruling and how definitive and unanimous it was?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, you need a good test case, and apparently this checked all the boxes facts-wise to be a great test case. So I wasn't surprised. I think you've seen across the country rulings like this, and there was an obvious trend in this direction.
Second question is, because of some of the lingering questions about, you know, for example, place, particularly where you can carry openly, do you expect there to be a special session called in order to clarify Florida statute or, I don't know, guidance from the Attorney General's office or the I mean, what are you expecting here in the near future?
No, I mean, like I said, I don't think that this is a earth-shattering, life-changing situation that would merit a special session.
Okay.
So, I mean, we might see some cleanup statute in the regular session, but this is not an emergency. I wouldn't consider this an emergency or anything that would justify a special session.
Very good. Switching gears to arguably unrelated, but it's still dealing with the gun subject. Obviously, we all saw what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk and, you know, just a horrific act of clearly politically motivated violence. I don't think there's any other way you can explain what happened. And, you know, it might turn out not to be that, but you've got to presume that that's the case here, right?
Yeah. Charlie Kirk's assassination yesterday, I'd never met the man. 31-year-old father, 3-year-old daughter, 1-year-old son. He led with his faith. Like he led advocating for people to have kids. He led, you know, he always spoke about the fact that the most important aspects of his life were his faith in Christ and his family. And to see someone who was such an incredible example, at such like 31 years old, talking about nothing, flying on Air Force One, nothing in his life, an incredible life, well-lived at 31. Nothing is like compared to his daughter, his 3-year-old daughter, running up to him and squeezing his leg or giving him a hug. Like it shook me to my core yesterday. It broke my heart. It's terrible what happened. You know, and my hope is that Charlie Kirk's legacy is going to be one encouraging, inspiring people to be focused on their families, to raise families, to live an unashamed Christian faith-filled life, and to always be seeking truth. I mean, he was a truth seeker. He was an incredible debater. He was open always to people's differing opinions. He was open to having his mind changed. But this is an incredible loss. And, you know, my friends and colleagues who knew him are shaken. And I did not expect to be as emotionally affected by his death as I was yesterday.
We have this very frightening, it seems more common, idea that speech is responsible for violence, And some people, including somebody who's now been fired from MSNBC, Matthew Dowd, apparently, for even implying that because he advocated for gun ownership, that, you know, and said what they consider to be hateful things, that therefore that's a form of violence, which then sort of justifies a violent response. I know you and I have talked many times about how that equivocation is insane. It's the exact opposite of what America is built upon. At the same time, we want civil discourse, which can be lively and mean and sarcastic and biting. But we always have to try not to demonize our opponents one way or another, as President Trump said yesterday in his comments, right?
I mean, that was what Charlie Kirk set the example for. He inspired millions. My legislative aide and district aide, Turner Mitchell and Kenzie Quino, they wouldn't be working for me if it weren't for Charlie Kirk. I mean, he brought people together. He was so open. He never vilified. He never denigrated anyone for a different view. He set the example for civil discourse and how it should bring people together. And because of that, I mean, he inspired millions of young people, you know, in his life, in his career. There is a troubling trend. I saw a survey where over, I think, 55% of liberal Democrats said that there would be some level of justification for assassinating President Trump. 45% said there would be some level of justification for assassinating Elon Musk. I mean, you see the glorification of Luigi Mangione, who killed insurance healthcare, CEO. Yeah. I mean, it's terrifying when people equate speech with violence and then also equate their violence with speech. And it's something that, you know, the folks who point the finger the most oftentimes have to look inward and kind of look deep inside themselves and figure out what's affecting them to feel that way. There's no place for this type of violence, especially against someone who set the tone and the example and inspired so many people to have peaceful, civil, energetic, thoughtful, respectful discourse. I mean, this was an incredible loss yesterday.
You know,
not just for all these people, but for this young family.
Yeah, absolutely. All agreed. I have been, honestly, what's been the most disappointing to me is this seems to be dividing between people who agreed with him and people who didn't agree with him. And I would hope that we can all agree that it doesn't matter what the content of your speech is, you're protected. And I would die to protect the things that I hate, whether he was a liberal or an atheist or a communist. I don't care. He's protected because that's America. And I would hope that people on the other side of the aisle would say the same thing. And I've been frustrated, frankly, and disappointed to see there seems to be some distinction between those two views. And that's very disappointing because I'm not outraged by this because he happened to be on my side. I'm outraged because he was killed for his views and expressing them peacefully, which is awful. Alex Andrade, Alex, thank you so much for the time this morning. I know you're busy with your own family, and I appreciate what you said about, you know, being very affected by it personally because, you know, similarities to your own personal life. I appreciate that. As always, thank you for the time, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And by the way, update, I have talked to Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County, Chip Simmons, Escambia County, Pensacola Police, Mike Wood, Chief Hawthorne in Gulf Breeze, and Chief Frank in Milton, and they are all not enforcing this right now. There is some disagreement about whether 19, 18, 20-year-olds can carry openly or not. I'll tell you who's told me what. City of Pensacola, PPD, says their guidance is to treat that as concealed. They cannot. Both county sheriffs say they are interpreting it as allowed, that a 19-year-old could open carry right now because you can legally possess. If you can't purchase and you can't conceal, but you could legally possess. I believe they're all treating the restricted places as applying to open carry as well. And honestly, you know, nobody's quite sure exactly what the law is right now, which is the nature of what happens after a big judicial ruling. I kind of blame the Attorney General, James Uthmeyer. His team should have absolutely known they were going to lose this case. Anybody watching the oral arguments would have known, oh God, they're going to get slaughtered in this case. And they did. And they should have briefed him. It wasn't his team. It was Ashley Moody's team. Okay. But, you know, there should be some continuity of awareness here. And they should have known that this ruling was coming. I mean, they couldn't have known. I'm sure the judges don't tip them off. But, you know, although we did have that weird press conference just a couple of days ago where DeSantis was talking about open carry. But no, like back in November, Ashley Moody's team should have prepared a brief that says, hey, if open carry is struck down, and it's going to be, here's our guidance for people. Here, here, not here, there, what age, what, you know, like that's what should have happened. Well, that has not happened. And so their office, I think, failed to plan ahead and also has failed to adapt after the fact, both, which, you know, I think the attorney general should have done better. So anyway, but yeah, that's where we're at right now. And again, I would recommend that you be smart. I think over the next couple of days, you'll probably start to see occasionally people carrying. I myself am not yet doing it. Because I would prefer not to get tackled or shot or have the police even called. You know, I just let's let it breathe a little bit, and then that's my approach. John?
I've already ordered my holster.
Well, I have one.
No, I'm talking about the outside.
Oh, I know. I have one holster for my 17. You know, I have an external hip holster that's outside, so I don't want to be that guy.
No, you're not going to be that guy.
And I don't
want
to be the news either. Frankly, I don't really love that. All right. Hey, if you're thinking about buying really or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are a fantastic resource for you. You want an expert. You know, when the market was super hot and it was easy to sell, you wanted an expert then, I said, because they will help you get the best deal. And that was true. When the market is not so fast, man, this is really when you need the help, because a good realtor can make the difference. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars of difference in you selling your home or buying a home or, you know, knowing what you have to agree to or knowing what you don't have to agree to or what you can ask for and what you really can't ask for. And all of that stuff is just comes from experience. And, you know, somebody who sells a house a month has some experience. Somebody who sells, you know, 15 or so a month has, I mean, a different level of experience. And they sell 165 homes last year. That's, 13 or 14 a month? So three and a half, four every single week. They sell a lot of homes. They know how to get the deal done. They know how to stage it, photograph it, list it, do all the things. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Give her a call today, 786-3996.
What's better than 45% off American-made New South windows? How about 45% off and a free generator? On September 13th, visit a New South showroom for 40% off. Arrive before noon for an extra 5% discount, plus a free generator. Make your home hurricane ready. One day only, September 13th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your window and door measurements. You must be in person at a New South showroom to get this deal. Offer is subject to conditions. Visit newsouth.com/deal or call 800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Hey, it's Gambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's got to be the biggest beaver shoot in the history of Florida.
Good morning, 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, Informative, Local, Dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and if you are a business and you have employees, you have to handle benefits for them like dental, vision, health, disability, you have to manage HR, you have to manage payroll. Torgerson Consulting can help you with that. Now, they used to be called Torgerson Causey. They went through a name change. Same great organization. They've been doing this for more than two decades to local businesses. And they work with us for about 4.5 years at News Radio and Cat Country. We get our medical insurance through them, and they have been fantastic. Now, they listen, the marketplace is what it is. They're not miracle workers. But they go out and scour the opportunities and find the best stuff and present it to us, and that gives us choices. We are in control. I mean, it's still, you know, post-Obama. It's still terrible, but they give us the best of the terrible, and they get the great customer service, follow-up questions, all that. I love them. They're fabulous. So if you have a business, you want to do good by your employees, do well by your employees, give them a call at 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. David Wayne's got a headline or two for us. David?
Well, the Trump administration says it will respond accordingly after the Supreme Court of Brazil sentenced former President Jair Bolsonaro to 27 years in prison. Bolsonaro was a close ally of President Trump and convicted Thursday of plotting to overturn Brazil's 2022 election. Secretary of State Marco Rubio responded to the news by calling Bolsonaro's trial a witch hunt.
Very good. David, why does Brother Andrew love FDOT? We'll find out coming up at 6:20 in the Transgressors Memorial Service. Stream.